You are now listening to
Chakras and Shotguns.
Welcome back to Chakras and Shotguns. This is episode 42. I'm Mick.
And I'm Jen. Welcome back.
So what's up? What's on your mind? How you feeling?
Lots is going on. So much is going on that I can't keep it all straight. Let's talk guilty pleasures. Let's talk The Ultimatum on Netflix.
Also known as the most toxic TV show on right now.
Pure chaos. Chaos and mayhem. Those are my favorite words. But this show really, it really captures that. It really embodies chaotic, toxic relationships.
I mean, first off, the premise, like, they were just like, we gonna do the wildest shakeup that we can imagine in terms of relationships and dating on reality TV.
If you have not seen it, basically, they are couples where one person wants to get married, the other person is kind of dragging their feet or they just don't want to get married yet. And this person issues an ultimatum. So they bring like 5-6 couples together. And the couples are supposed to intermingle and pick a new partner out of this group of 10 to 12 people and have a trial marriage and live with them for 3 weeks at an Element Hotel in Austin, Texas. And then after that, they go back to living with their boo for 3 weeks. But as you can imagine, if there's some chemistry with somebody else, especially the people who did not want to get married in the first place, chaos ensues. And the entire time I was watching, I kept asking Mick, I said, what is the point of this exercise? How are we getting closer to marriage by doing this? I just feel like they set these people up. Never mind the fact that most of these people are in their early 20s.
Mad young. Like, gotta be, I mean, if they decided to go to college, like, a couple years removed. Like, yeah. It's wild.
And I'm like, baby, you don't know nothing about nothing. And then I kind of cringe because now I'm at that age where I'm like, baby, you don't know nothing about nothing. That show was a hot mess express. If you want to binge watch it, the entire series is up, including the reunion. Lots going on, but that was like our latest guilty pleasure.
All right, you want to talk about what's going on astrologically right now?
Yes. To preface that, let's talk about TikTok, okay? I finally, like, I don't post on TikTok, but like I peruse TikTok. I peruse TikTok at night until TikTok has that account that tells me, like, baby, go to sleep. They're like, you've been scrolling for a while. Why don't we take some deep calming breaths?
I thought recently that maybe I was getting into TikTok, but I still have not come across that yet. So, like, I'm just imagining just how much time you're spending on it to keep getting this. Like, you've shown it to me multiple times. And I'm like, I've been on here, I thought, just as long as you.
I mean, if they're going off the number of videos in a period, I'm probably out pacing you, because if you don't capture like my attention in the first 20 seconds and I'm looking and I'm like, oh, this is a full 3-minute episode.
20 seconds? Do you really give them 20?
You don't think I give them 20?
No.
If I feel like you're about to draw this out and it's about to be some clickbait and you're not about to tell me anything, I just scroll. And so I think like they're like, you've gone through a lot of videos, like maybe you should go to bed. But you watch like 4 videos in this span. And then you're done. But anyways, so Instagram Reels, for me, the algorithm is giving me interior design. They're giving me beauty. They're giving me like little funny videos. TikTok, the algorithm is giving me mermaid sightings. Alien sightings. Okay. Witch spells, manifestation, astral projection. Like, my TikTok algorithm is wild. Let's talk about time travel. Is there really like a whole agency that is untouchable by any other government, any other country, that just manages the timelines? Like, it's, we out here, okay? Astrology, chakras, breath work. Like, that's what my TikTok timeline looks like. And it is a blessed. Okay. But the thing that I wanted to talk to you about is very time sensitive, and it's also like perfect timing because I've been trying to do more manifestation work, some visualizations. Me and Mick are kind of going through like life transitions. We got like things in the works that we're really trying to bring into fruition in like the next 3 to 6 months. And so right on time, TikTok has started sending me videos about a astrological event that just happened on April 12th. And it is the Jupiter-Neptune conjunction in Pisces. And hold up, wait a minute. I'm going to explain it because I know that sounds like a whole lot going on. But the TikTok girls are telling me that this is a once-in-a-lifetime event, and I think that's underselling it because the last time it happened was in 1856, and the next time it happens is going to be next century. And like when I did the math, Mick and my great-great-grandkids might be around to see it, and like they might also be in the paper for living to like 111. So all that being said, like, pay attention because this is like a huge event happening and like very big energy going on right now. So, Mick, do you want to tell everybody what a conjunction is?
Yes, yes, yes. So if you go back to our episode that we did on astrology with Pooja Robinson, we talked about transits. And one type of transit is when two celestial bodies, they meet at the exact same point in the sky. And that's what a conjunction is. So basically, if you were to cut up the sky into pizza, like we talked about on our astrology episode, and you see those 12 slices, each one representing a different sign of the zodiac, going from Aries to Pisces, we would have this conjunction where Jupiter and Neptune are meeting in Pisces. So that's what's happening right now.
All I can think about is conjunction, junction, what's your function? And let's get into it, okay? What does that mean for you? We're going to talk a little bit about the planets and what they even mean. So let's talk about Jupiter and what it rules over. It's the planet of luck, fortune, and blessings, okay? Neptune is the planet of the subconscious, dreams, art, entertainment, and psychic powers. So I'm already feeling some kind of way with like what we're working with just those two planets in general, but then they're meeting in Pisces.
Yes. So let's talk a little bit about Pisces. Pisces is the astrological sign of dreams, illusion, and creativity. So a lot of astrologers are saying we are in this energetic moment where basically your dreams can come true. Things are coming, get creative, really get to the point where you're exploring within, get your meditation on, and really decide what you want out of life. Really, this is a time, again, where luck and fortune are going to be on your side. So you don't have to be tethered to what you think is practical. Feel free to really just let your mind go and be creative and call in the things you really want. These two planets are very much telling you that whatever your heart's desire, you can have that. You can let go of those limiting beliefs, those doubts. Jupiter is all about bringing in abundance, and Neptune is all about getting rid of doubt. So you combine those two together, and it's really about just, what do you want?
So we said April 12th, and we know this episode is now out on April 18th. And if you're mad that we're just not telling you about this, hold on. Or if you're just now catching up to this episode, it might be your bad. But know that Jupiter and Neptune are slow-moving planets. So they'll be in this space in Pisces until May 10th. So that's almost a month for you to get your shit together, okay? I, for one, am really excited about this because I'm also in my Jupiter return, guys, which is supposed to be very lucky for me in my life. The two examples that I love to bring up, shout out to Pooja, Cardi B came out with Bodak Yellow during her Jupiter return, and we know that catapulted her to stardom. The other example is still a good example, but Donald Trump ran for president and won during his Jupiter return. And we know that that was luck, okay? So I'm trying to call in some amazing luck. Everything's like coming in. So I'm very, very excited. But it's just a really, really good time. I know everybody's like, oh, for this moon cycle and this 24-hour period. I love that this is like almost a full month of you to like really sit and just be real with yourself as to what you want and be unashamed about that.
Yeah, this might be a good time to go back and listen to our episode about manifestation. Jen's previously talked about using visualization as a manifestation tactic. So you can do your vision board or revisit some things that you've done in the past. If you want to incorporate the elements, you can also see where Jupiter falls in your birth chart and go from there. So let's say Jupiter falls within an earth sign within your chart. You can write things down and plant them in the earth, or you can burn them if Jupiter's in a fire sign. You can also use dissolvable paper and put them in water, or you can incorporate air by doing your meditation outside. My Jupiter is in Capricorn, so I plan on doing some earth element work for my manifestations during this time.
My Jupiter actually falls in Pisces, which I just feel like, look, y'all, it's going to be some stuff coming to me, y'all. I'm going to tell y'all about it, I promise. But I am very excited because it's just like, it's right there. I'm going to get some of that dissolvable paper. I'm also going to put it in the show notes if anybody's interested. One of the rituals that I've heard of is like having a spiritual bath, maybe incorporating crystals. Go listen to the crystal episode about what crystals you can actually put in water. I love to use rose quartz, and I like put that in the bathtub with me, and then like writing down what you want, dissolving that in the bathtub, expressing gratitude, and kind of like letting that just go down the drain. And we go down the drain sounds bad, but it's like you're sending it out into the universe. So I'm very excited. I'm very excited. This is so great.
All right. Well, since you're so excited, I'm excited to hear your breath work today, because I'm sure it's going to be a good one.
Yes. So I think that we should just like keep this vibe going. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do a manifestation visualization exercise together. And we're going to wrap up with an affirmation that I also heard on TikTok that I have been incorporating I've just been saying it randomly, like when I'm driving or even when I'm frustrated about something, something's not moving the way that I want it to, or just even when I'm just like sitting still thinking about nothing. So I've been starting to say it, and I like just can feel my energy shift, and it's very, very exciting. So let's get into it. Okay, find a comfortable seat or lay down if you wish. And we're going to take 3 cleansing breaths together. Inhale in through your nose, expanding your belly. And sigh that out through your mouth. Let's do that again. Inhale in through your nose. Bringing your shoulders down from your ears, letting yourself feel limp and relaxed, and sigh that out through your mouth. Last time together, inhale in through your nose. Can you release your tongue from the roof of your mouth? Can you sink a little deeper into your chair or your bed or the floor? And this time we're going to exhale, sealing our lips out through your nose. Now that we're aware of our breath, I want you to think about your ideal self in the future. It could be next week, it could be next month, it could be next year, it could be 10 years from now. Sometimes when I do this, I like to think of a conversation that I'm having, and I'm telling someone about the things that I would like to have come true in my life. That can be a friend, your partner. And what are you telling them? What are you sharing with them? Did you get that promotion that you wanted? Did you leave a situation that might not have been healthy for you? Are you physically healthy? Are you well? How does your body feel as you're telling this person? Let yourself feel the emotions and the excitement of telling this person your good news. Of all the beautiful things that are happening to you. You can smile if you want to as you're doing this breath work. As you're visualizing yourself happy and whole. See yourself moving around in this space. Going to the job that you want, or driving the car that you want, or with the kids that you want to have, or with the partner that you want to be in a relationship with. How do you feel? How do you feel living the life of your dreams? Allow that positivity, even euphoria, wash over you. As we wrap up this breath work, this visualization exercise, I said I wanted to conclude with an affirmation that I've been incorporating in my day-to-day life over the past few days. And I want you to remember it. Say it in the morning. When you wake up, say it at night before you go to bed. Say it when you're driving. The affirmation is, show me how good it can get. Show me how good it can get. And that takes the pressure off of you and your own self-doubt and your limiting beliefs and these things that we've been told about what's practical and what's realistic and what we can have and what we can't have. You're just calling in from the universe, from God, from spirit, from your ancestors. Show me how good it can get. And surrender to surprise and delight. And let it all unfold. All right.
Thanks for that, Jen. That was dope. Definitely hits home. All right, so let's jump into our main topic. We're getting back in the prepper bag. Really, this is more of like a reminder for you guys. It's kind of the perfect time of year to do a refresh of your prepping supplies. You know, it's like one thing to think about the scenarios, have your gear purchased, but you have to spend some time with that gear periodically, making sure that it's still in good condition, that it's still ready to go. And so, we just want to make sure you're prepared for the most likely scenarios in your area. So we thought it would be good to do a little bit of a refresh episode to help you guys with that.
Yeah, I hope we're not overwhelming anybody, because all of our prepper episodes is like, you need to buy this, you need to buy that, you need to get that shiny blanket. What's that shiny blanket called? Mylar?
Yeah.
You got to get that shiny blanket. You got emergency water. You got a flashlight. You got a generator. You got solar panels. You got... And then we're like, okay, now check it every 6 months. Like, but it's very important. It's very important, because what can easily happen is like you're just acquiring stuff and then you don't even really know what you got. So a lot of preppers review their supplies every 6 months. You can correlate your refresh with holidays like Easter and Halloween, for example. I mean, you can do whatever you want to do. You can be like, first of the year, and then right before the kids go to school, I'm going to go through all my prepper supplies, or I'm going to do it in June and December. But just find something that, like, it'll be more top of mind for you, where you're like, okay, I can remember that.
Yeah.
Like, I change my toothbrush head on months that are divisible by three, because I have to do it every 3 months, and that's the only way I can remember.
Okay.
Fun fact.
I did not know that about you. You doing over here doing mental math on every time you brush your teeth? Okay.
Well, I'm like, okay, it's March. I mean, it's April now, so I changed my toothbrush, okay? I changed my toothbrush head. I did.
Okay. Yuck mouth.
Wow! You know, never mind. I'm not going to do it.
So, guys, what should you be doing exactly as you go through your prepper spring cleaning? Let's go step by step.
First off, do you know where everything is? We've moved things around our house a lot over the last few months. We have baby gear, kids' clothes that, you know, kids are aging out of. And then when you incorporate another kid, it's like this rotation of, like, you're bringing out old stuff to see if the new kid can use any of that. The older kid is also aging out of stuff, so you're moving that out. It's just like, just kind of a whirlwind of, like, stuff kind of getting moved in and out of the attic and the garage and the closets. And so there's that. And, you know, we've also been trying to just spring clean everything else, because things can get very out of sight, out of mind. If it fit in the pantry, that ain't none of my business. And then you start going through and you were like, do I really need rice vinegar from 2016? I don't think so. Let's throw that away. So, in some of that shuffling, what happens is you might start moving other stuff around. So we have moved some of our prep stuff around, and you want to make sure you know where stuff is, because then if you have a shit hits the fan moment, or even just like a storm or something like light, you don't want to be wasting time trying to find where your stuff is.
Yeah. So, you know, confession on my part, like, I have been confused on a few of my preps just because of all the shuffling that we've been going on. And I didn't do a great job of writing down exactly where everything was. So I would highly encourage the listeners out there to use the notes app in your phone. If you got Evernote, check that out as well. Don't just rely on mental notes, because that's what I was doing. And with all the shifting, I couldn't find stuff. So make sure you know where all of your equipment and supplies are located in your house.
The whole time you were talking about, you had to confess that you didn't know where everything was. I was just thinking about that Usher video the whole time. Put that on everything. Like, I was like, for real? You don't know where everything is?
I don't, man. I know now, since I've done my prepper spring cleaning. But like 2 weeks ago, I was like, I don't know where the walkie-talkies are.
And Putin was acting a fool. What if we need them walkie-talkies?
I found them. Glad he gave me a little bit of time.
Amazing grace. I was lost, but now I'm found. That's what them walkie-talkies are singing right now. Well, anyways, we're going to start with food. So check your freezer first. Is there anything in there that needs to be thrown out? This is a message for myself. Maybe you dipped into your frozen food stash one day when you didn't feel like cooking. That's fine. Do you need to replenish? Do you have some stuff that's old that you need to get rid of, that you need to cook expeditiously? Take notes of what you need. Add that to your next grocery list. I definitely need to do this and focus on cooking out of our deep freezer. I have some gumbo from like fall 2020 in there. It's probably still okay. You want me to thaw it out and see? Mick has a thing about food. He has a thing about food. If it says Best Buy, he's like 2 days before that and throw it out. Throw it out. I grew up with a mama with an iron stomach. She'd be like, girl, it's fine. It's fine. And
I think it's just my days. I worked for a food manufacturer for a little while. And yeah, going to them plants and talking to the folks. And they're like, nah, man, you got to get rid of that stuff.
This ain't from a plant. This is from love.
What?
That roux was made from love. Those vegetables were made from love.
Okay.
I also would say, and this is a Mick and Jen thing, if we had a family crest I think the motto would be in Latin, but it would translate to stomach integrity, because we we do not play. Because if your stomach is not right, you know, and they'd be like, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, baby. We don't, when we travel abroad, if the water situation is a little wonky, we don't play. No ice, no cut fruit. And I abided by all my rules, and I still got sick in Ghana. And that was horrific. That was horrific. I skipped a bus tour that day. And let me tell you something. Not only was I thankful, but everyone should have thanked me. Okay? Stomach integrity. That's key. How you gonna fly if your stomach not right? You got to keep getting up to get into that little itty-bitty bathroom. Hoping your Imodium hold up. No.
Yeah.
No.
I can't light a fire, build a tent, shoot a shotgun on with a bad stomach, so.
Boy, 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 boy. Oof. Food poisoning is the worst.
So, moving on to canned goods. We mentioned way back in episode 7, which feels like forever ago. But we mentioned way back then, you should go through and look at your canned goods pretty regularly. Make sure doing your prepper spring cleaning that, you know, you're checking expiration dates. You have anything that's coming up on its expiration date in the next couple of months, maybe take those to the food bank. They can, you know, get those out to folks who need them pretty quickly. And then you can replace those canned goods on your next shopping trip.
Lastly, take a look at your longer term freeze dried food. And we're talking about like the food for like emergency rations. We did post on YouTube of me tasting that food. Hoo cha. That was a never would have made it. What you want to check is that the seals are still tight. Has anything expired? Has it been exposed to water or air? If your family's dietary needs have changed, make a list of what you might need instead. For example, we recently found out about a food allergy that our oldest daughter has, so we actually need to go through and double check that she's not allergic to any ingredients in the freeze-dried food that we have. Like, it's normal for us to look through our regular food, but, you know, that food is kind of out of sight, out of mind, in a different place.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that we'll need to go through and double check. Put that on my honey-do list, babe.
Got it. Back in that food episode, we did talk about this app, but I wanted to repeat it here. So it's called Pantry Check, and it's a great, basically, inventory on your phone of all the food that you have in your pantry. And it'll even record the expiration dates, and you can see right there on the app when stuff is expiring. But, you know, you have to be continually maintaining it as you grocery shop and use things. So it can be a bit cumbersome. Maybe you do it every 6 months just to kind of see where you are and what you've eaten up over that time frame.
Moving on to water, the main thing here is checking the seals on your long-term storage. You may even want to wipe down the outside of your containers because they look dusty. If you have kids, make sure you have enough water stashed for them. Like, our youngest is older now and she's not nursing anymore. Thank God. But she's also drinking more water. So we had to go back and look at our calculations to make sure we were now accounting for her. You also want to make sure that you're rotating your water appropriately. Remember, the plastic deteriorates. We talked about this in our water episode. We actually had a couple of 5-gallon jugs explode in our pantry a couple months ago. That was a whole mess that we did not plan on dealing with that day. It was a weekend. The kids were home. And I was like, dang, I surely was about to go take a nap.
And those weren't even in there that long. I feel like we were doing our part to like rotate. So, you know, sometimes you just got some weak plastic. So just be on top of it.
We actually keep a couple of water bottles in my closet because it's the larger one. And that's where we go for tornado warnings and whatnot. And so it's like good to have like some water on standby so you're not trying to run around when like you start hearing that siren. I actually needed some water to record this episode. And I was like, let me go get one of the water bottles. And sure enough, it was starting to look a little shrunken.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been a mess, too, because it would have deteriorated. It would have exploded. It would have kind of gotten on my clothes. Like, yeah, it's just water, but it could have gotten on one of my bags. It could have gotten on my shoes. So make sure you're rotating out your water.
All right, moving on to lighting. So flashlights and things of that nature. The main thing here is you want to make sure your stuff still works. check your flashlights to make sure the batteries still work. We actually had one flashlight that I use pretty regularly, and basically it just had so much corrosion in the battery chamber that we just had to replace it. So, you know, check those things, make sure, you know, when you need it, it's going to be working. Yeah, those LED lights that we mentioned, the lanterns, you want to make sure those are still operating fine. Yeah.
I think what's necessary to check your lighting and make sure all your batteries are up and running is that you even know where your lighting is. So where are all your lights? We had a tornado warning. The fact that we have a whole setup for tornado warnings and we have one at least once, maybe twice a year these days, that's a problem. Hashtag climate change. I don't know. I'm just blaming it on climate change. Whatever. We had a tornado warning a couple weeks ago, and Mick moved some lighting around.
That was me.
And then life just went on, and those lights are still not in their proper spot. So, yeah, we got to go back and organize those.
Yeah, that's on me. Next, you want to think about your bug out bag and your car bag. So a couple of things you want to make sure you specifically look at. So your food and water rations, as we said before, just want to make sure that stuff is not expired. The hand crank radio, that is a really important piece of equipment. We talked about how if it's an EMP or a nuclear situation, you want to make sure you have that hand crank radio to be able to get information. So test it out, make sure that, you know, mechanism is still charging things up when you crank the hand crank there. Again, check the batteries for your lights. You may have some kid stuff in your bug out bags, like some socks or like an extra pair of shoes for your kids. But, you know, they grow, so make sure that stuff is still the appropriate sizes for them. And yeah, you're ensuring that they have what they need. Also, in bug out bags, I know, like for me, I have a lot of tools in there. So like my knife, I took it out of my bug out bag to work on this wood carving project, and it's still in the garage. I saw it the other day and I was like, I need to go put that back in my bug out bag. So wow. I have it ready for that. So make sure, you know, those types of things are there. And then like my bug out bag has like some water filters and some fire starters. And I think when I bought them a couple years ago, I spent some time learning how to work them, but I haven't really gone back and refreshed those skills. So skills diminish really fast is one of the things that preppers talk about a lot, like how important it is to have just basic knowledge and skills of certain equipment and how to do certain things. And if you don't flex that muscle or exercise that muscle regularly, you will quickly lose that skill. Mm-hmm. So when you're going through your bug out bag, be thinking about what equipment is in here that I'm not used to using on like an everyday basis that I maybe need to go back and kind of refamiliarize myself with.
It also might be a good idea, like when you're doing that, you're like, oh, and you may have done it the 6 months prior and you feel like you had to start from scratch. Maybe you put like a calendar appointment to do it every 3 months.
Yeah.
Maybe you do it in months that are divisible by three, like March and June and September, December.
You gonna do that?
When you change your toothbrush heads. Am I gonna do what?
Go refresh your skills on your bug out
bag. I'm refreshing this deep freezer. I told you I gotta cook. You don't want to eat my old gumbo. And so...
So my point is, you only gonna get to it every 6 months. But if you can...
Maybe you do it every four. I don't know. If you're ambitious and maybe you don't...
I'm just trying to be practical here.
Because, Chad, I'm tired. I'm not gonna put anything in. But, like, if I don't put it on my calendar, then I'm not gonna do it.
That's fair.
So... That's why I was suggesting that. I didn't say I was going to do it. I said maybe you can do it and maybe you, being the listener, would find some value in that. And then maybe you can come scoop me and tell me how I go. Before we leave off of the bug out bag and the car bag, also think through the seasons. It might not be as pressing to have that super heavy overcoat in your car as we head into summer, especially if you're trying to be diligent about doing this every 6 months. So you might be able to pull that out and maybe change things around. On the flip side, if we're moving into summer, do you have enough emergency water? Do you have like maybe a battery operated fan, for instance? Something that you might need more of when it's hotter. Lastly, if you have guns, Check your ammunition supply. If you have a couple of different caliber guns, make sure you have plenty of ammo for each one. Mick tries to monitor like ammo prices and where to get ammo, ammo shortages, all of that good stuff. So that's also a good tip, especially if you're going to the range and you're shooting, you know, make sure you're trying to replenish periodically. Before we leave off on this topic, though, I just want to commend you, Mick, as my partner in life.
Okay.
Why did you say okay like that?
I don't know where this is going.
Because you feel like it's about to be some bullshit.
Probably.
It is. I want to commend you for being vulnerable and telling people that you are not putting things back in their place after you use them. Now that we have that on wax, so to speak, I can pull that up as audio evidence, you know, whenever it suits me. So I'm proud of you for sharing. And I love doing life with you. Thank you.
I just didn't want you to feel alone in the I don't put stuff back where it belongs club. So this is, you know, me being supportive as a spouse. Because you are the founder, the chairperson, the exemplar of the not putting stuff back where it belongs club.
I will sue you for slander. I'll do it. I'm going to take you for everything that you're worth.
Call my lawyer.
You're a clown.
All right, guys. So I think that covers the major areas. Obviously, you know, think about other things like your first aid kit or maybe like your walkie-talkies and make sure those are working properly. But, you know, you want to make sure your food, water, any type of bug out bag equipment that you have, those are the main things you want to make sure you're refreshing and are up to date with. So take this time to just go back over your stuff and make sure you're up to date with all of that.
So to end the episode, we wanted to do an As Seen on TV segment. We haven't done one in a while. So if you're new here, welcome. This is a segment where we point out random things on TV that remind us of spiritual concepts that we've studied. So we watched The Ultimatum, right? But we've also been watching Moon Knight on Disney Plus. And y'all know we like Marvel. And you know we like Marvel shows. Caveat. This one's been a little harder for me to get into, despite the spiritual aspects that we're going to talk about. I'll just say a Disney Plus Marvel show is different from a Netflix Marvel show, okay? I think it could have been a little darker. I think the fight scenes could have been a little bit doper. I think it could have been less campy, even though Luke Cage was like hella lame to me. But
yeah,
that's neither here nor there. We've talked about Cloak and Dagger from back in the day. Rest in peace to that show. Grand opening, grand closing. But anyway, we jumped into Moon Knight recently, and the premise on its face is very interesting. Small spoiler alert. But basically, Moon Knight is about this guy, Stephen Grant, who doesn't remember things that happened to him while he's sleeping. We learn in the first episode that when he blacks out, he's being guided by an Egyptian god named Khonshu to disseminate justice. He has like this alter ego that's like a mercenary, and that justice sometimes involves killing people.
Yeah. So what's interesting about this is I think about a conversation that Jen and I commonly have, and we've read it. People on TikTok have talked about this. But basically, it's like any of the wild stuff that you see on TV and Hollywood or movies, whatever. People are like, nah, this stuff is like a real reflection of what's actually happening in the world. And some people even say, like, we're being conditioned as a society by the entertainment so that we are basically like warmed up for the eventual revelation that things are real. So it's kind of like, toss out this, was it the TVA that was in Loki? Because there's really these like timeline people that we were talking about earlier, right? So it comes up a lot. And so I just thought it was like interesting. I mean, I won't go down the full like conspiracy theory TikTok rabbit hole, but I will say like Moon Knight specifically, a few things that are real come to mind. What do you think?
to that point, and I said this to you years and years ago, I was like, I think our reality is 1 to 2 steps behind our imagination. Mm-hmm. Like, our imagination's only slightly ahead. Like, it's not just, like, so crazy. Honestly, if I saw a video of some dude, like, shooting webs out of his wrists in Brooklyn or in Queens, my man's from Queens, let's put some respect on his name, I probably, like, I'm serious, I don't think I would be fazed. I don't think I would be fazed at all. I'd be like, oh, okay, cool. I mean, do y'all see what they're injecting into the chicken? Like, why not? Sure. You know, if they like announced that they were actually going to give Black people reparations, I'd be like, what?
That is some science fiction right there.
They're going to pay us. I believe when I see it. I believe when that check clear. Is it a trap? If I cash this check, is it a trap? They gonna get me like they got Ryan Coogler at Bank of America.
Remember that show Trap Car when it was like set up the cars to get stolen? Oh, man.
So, all of that being said, we actually talked about this back when we had our fave, Melanie Esperon, on this show. There are a lot of people out there who have developed their senses to the point that they can easily interact with spirits on the daily. So the way Moon Knight brings in the Egyptian deity Khonshu is very much like that. It's like clairaudience. Like, he just like hears the voice. Sometimes it's clairvoyance. Like, he sees Khonshu. I wonder if there's even like, there is like a little bit of claircognizance in there too. Mm-hmm. I don't want to spoil too much, but you know, how this one character who kind of doesn't know what's going on, like figures out what's going on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He just kind of instinctually does it. He just knows.
Yeah.
So I think that's very interesting. So seeing that character, Mark is the mercenary, Steven is kind of like, of course, he's like the British dweeb.
Yeah.
So seeing this character interact with the deity that no one else can see, it definitely makes me think that, you know, I just kind of, it's really interesting how a lot of these comics are so old and they're capturing concepts that I think the collective, so to speak, is just now figuring out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, psychics, when I was growing up, it was all about Miss Cleo, and then she was a scammer. And so, nobody was really... Like, you had to be into some really, really weird shit to be talking about auras and chakras. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you were just like, oh, you on some other stuff. You live on a commune with, like, other people. Hope it ain't a cult, baby. I'm going to pray for you. And that's like... That's it. But like, now you go on TikTok and it's like, oh yeah, girl, I was working on my heart chakra the other day and I astral projected and it's like, whatever, on my TikTok. That's my TikTok. So, you know, whatever. But anyways, I think it's really interesting. I always ask Mick, I mean, like, so like, was Stan Lee like on LSD? Like, what was he doing?
Yeah. He was clearly looking forward in the timeline or something to figure out.
Like, how? Like, baby, how? How are you? What's the other one, Jack?
Kirby.
Kirby.
Yeah.
I was like, what was y'all on? They were in ayahuasca. Writing down the stories. Anyway.
No, but so what's wild to me specifically about Moon Knight, I remember like I heard it was coming out and I went in like on Wikipedia. I wasn't really familiar with this comic. I was a comic book nerd as a kid, but like I wasn't really into Moon Knight. I think you had to like really be in the deep cuts to catch Moon Knight. But I like went to Wikipedia, read about the story, and I was like seeing this and I was like, this kind of reminded me of something that really happened in real life that I remembered vaguely, though. I had to go back and Google it to get all the facts right. But basically, back in 2013, I had just moved to Chicago and the company that I worked for had an office in Omaha, Nebraska. And we did some like orientations there. And I vaguely like remembered like there was this murder case going on around that time when I was in Omaha. And so I Googled it recently and was like trying to get all the facts. And basically this guy, his name is Nico Jenkins. He was convicted of killing 4 people in August of 2013. And it was like over the course of a couple of weeks, like just went on this killing spree. And it was like very random, like how the bodies were found and stuff. But his main defense in court was that he was carrying out sacrifices to the Egyptian god Apophis. And in Egyptian mythology, like, this is the Egyptian god of chaos and is like the arch nemesis to Ra, which is the sun god. So like sun, moon, almost. He's not really the god of the moon, but it's like kind of close there, you know? So I was just like, whoa, this is like super weird and freaky that like that actually happened in real life. And like that's what the show was kind of like depicting almost. So I don't know. It kind of just like, I was kind of hitting Moon Knight with the side eye. I was like, I know this like was created back in the 70s. But I'm still like, Cardi B, like, yo, how convenient is that? You know what I mean?
That actually made me think of another TikTok video.
Okay.
This was on JK Ultra's page. Okay. Page? What do you call them on TikTok? Profile?
You know better than me. You be getting
I don't know, child. I'm in my mid-30s, baby. I don't know. Anyways, she was talking about this card game that came out in 1995 called the Illuminati card game.
Yes.
And basically, the Illuminati card game plus this other game that this company came up with, the CIA was like, baby, y'all are doing too much. And they raided that office. They were like, you're doing entirely too much. And so there's some parts of it that you can actually read about on the CIA website that they've like since released to the public. But this Illuminati card game that came out, I repeat, in 1995, the purpose of the game was to bring about the apocalypse and the coming of, like, the Antichrist. And some of the cards in that game, some of the like, people always talk about how the Simpsons predict things. Some of the cards in that game, like Hillary Clinton was in that game. I think Donald Trump was in that game. There's a terrorist attack on the Twin Towers. This is 1995. There was a secret meeting at a pizza place. And if you remember, QAnon hit up that pizza place because they thought it was a pedophile ring.
Pizzagate was the whole thing, right?
Osama bin Laden had the Illuminati card game, y'all, when they killed him and they looked at his bookshelf. Like, CIA was like, these are the books and items that were on Osama bin Laden's bookshelf. Like, this is just wild. Like, it's just like, what? It's like something else I wanted to like get into a whole black hole and like read about. But it's just so weird. There's like so many things. And like, of course, people are like, are we in a simulation or are people seeing the future? And this is how they're like, I don't know, getting that out into the world. It's just very, very bizarre. So that story is very strange. Yeah. And I guarantee you, if I heard that story in 2013, I was like, this guy is a freaking nut job. Throw him into the nut house. That baby's nuts. But who knows? I think that's kind of this weird space I'm getting into is like, I think I've kind of gotten to the point where I'm like, nothing's off limits when it comes to what is believable.
Yeah.
Like I said, Hulk smash. He could show up at an Atlanta Hawks game tomorrow. And I'd be like, oh, okay. Have you heard about the lead in the water? This is totally believable. And so I'll be on TikTok and I'll be like, yeah, why not? Mermaids are washing up on the beach in Kenya. Why not? Why not? Sure. We've only explored 5% of the ocean. Why not? You know? So I'm probably going to be in our next photo shoot in tinfoil hat, but that's my business.
All right, so why don't we wrap up this weird-ass episode? We didn't touch on everything. We didn't touch on the ultimatum. We didn't touch on the conjunctions. We didn't touch on pepper spray and cleaning. Now we're talking about Moon Knight and Egyptian gods telling people to kill folks and mermaids. So yeah, y'all got a whole lot in this episode. If you have any questions, shoot us an email. If you want to talk about some weird stuff that you're into, that you saw on TikTok or whatever, email us at chakrasandshotguns@gmail.com. You can also find us on Instagram and YouTube. If you'd like to join our Chakras and Shotguns community, you can support us on Patreon. And finally, if you're loving the show, please subscribe and give us a 5-star rating wherever you listen. And, you know, type a little text in there. Tell us how you're feeling about the show. People read those reviews and it's really helpful for new users. So we really appreciate that, guys. Thank you.
Namaste.